29. Aaron. Hobart was wrong. Someone had gone up to his apartment. Aaron entered cautiously, moving away from the lift and through the foyer toward the living room. He pressed himself against the side of the doorframe, pausing a moment. The lift doors closed, and the cab started to descend. Aaron removed his Oracle, slipping it back into his pocket. He didn't need it blocking any of his field of vision. Then he crouched low, tilting his head to see around the corner. The first thing he noticed was that his couch was out of place, slid sideways as though it had been pushed. Then he saw her body. For a heartbeat, he thought it was his wife, Kieran. He saw black heels leading to stockings and black panties beneath a dark dress that had hiked up during the conflict, which merged with a light blue blouse and a partial view of a head of light brown hair wrapped into a long ponytail. The neutral-toned carpet around the body was stained with blood. But Kieran didn't have long hair, and he didn't spot the dark blotch of a birthmark on the woman's ankle. He was relieved to see it wasn't his wife, but not by much. He recognized her now. Lynn, his assistant with the trust. Why was she here? Who had killed her? And were they still here? The blood was fresh, and he was willing to bet the body was still warm. But if the killer was present, they didn't know he had arrived. If they did, they would have been right outside the lift waiting to jump him before he could react. He decided whoever was responsible was still in the apartment. His grip on the micro spear tightened. He hadn't lied to Hobart. He had come back to grab something from his safe. Something he would need in the days to come. The organization had been preparing for this circumstance for a long time, and he needed to put their plans into motion. He could have kicked himself for not doing it sooner, but he had wrongly believed the Relia were light years away and focused on Earth. He had wrongly believed they didn't even know where the second human settlement was. He was fairly certain that had been true as recently as a few months ago. What had changed? And how the hell had they gotten here without him knowing it? It was a breach. A horrible breach. He needed to find the source and shut it down. But he also needed to be ready for the worst. If one Koron could get to Proxima, then an infinite number of Relia could get here, one way or another. But it was no coincidence they had revealed themselves now. They were trying to stop the organization before the organization could stop them. But stop them from what? They were here, but their warship was headed for Earth, and they couldn't possibly prevent it from reaching humankind's homeworld. Aaron had done the best he could by sending Isaac and Rico to warn Sheriff Duke. Unless. There was one outcome he hadn't considered, and thinking about it now sent a vein of fear running through his spine. His entire body shivered. Aaron had experienced working among the most powerful people on the planet, not only politicians, but also ruthless businessmen and syndicate bosses, people who could have him killed on a whim. He didn't scare easily, but he was unnerved right now. He needed to grab the files from the safe and get to the organization safe house, and he needed to do it fast. Aaron moved from the foyer to the living room, clutching the micro spear and wishing he had a gun to go with it. Of course, there was one in the safe. He had only taken two steps when a figure emerged from the kitchen to the front and left of his position on the other side of the room. Kieran, he said, surprised and even more fearful to see his wife there. She was wearing workout clothes, a sports bra and fitted pants, revealing a body that was fitter than he remembered. The bra had blood sprayed across it, and she had a long knife in her hand. Where are the boys? What happened here?
The boys, Kieran said, smiling. They're safe. Maybe. I guess that depends.
Aaron came to a stop at Lynn's feet, eyes glued to his wife. He already knew what had happened here. How long? He asked.
26 days, she replied. Perhaps if you'd just trusted her with your secrets.
I kept everything from her for her protection, Aaron said. Her security.
Does she seem safe to you right now?
the Koran asked, holding the knife to Kieran's neck.
Don't, Aaron said. Tell me what it is you want.
I'm getting some of it right now. Your fear is delicious, and I hunger.
Glad I can help, Aaron growled. Are my boys still alive?
They are. You can keep them that way. You can help them all. We only know about the safe because your wife knew. We want to know what's in it.
I bet you do.
You're going to show me.
Aaron slowly crouched beside Lynn, noticing her clutch abandoned near her hip.
Why did you kill her?
She was here, and I enjoyed it.
Then the question came. Why was she here?
The Koran wouldn't know.
Did it have anything to do with Cher Lamont?
The safe, the Koran reminded him. If you want your wife and children to survive, you're going to open it for me and give me the contents.
How do I know I can trust you? You aren't even human.
He reached for the clutch, his hand hidden from the Koran's line of sight by the sofa.
Which makes me more trustworthy. Relia do not make promises and fail to keep them. That's why I didn't offer your survival.
I give you what you want and you kill me? That's a little ungrateful, don't you think?
He grabbed the clutch.
There's another option. You could join us.
No.
He unclasped the button as he said it, disguising the sound with the movement of his foot. He reached into the purse. The Koran smiled. Kieran smiled. It bothered Aaron to see her under the Relia's control.
I didn't think you would agree to that.
She put the knife against her neck again, pressing just enough to draw a line of blood.
The safe. Retrieve the contents and bring them to me. I'll wait.
Right, Aaron said, the grip of the pistol comfortable in his hand. Souls forgive him for what he was about to do.
The organization wasn't a fraternity or a club. It was something entered into lightly. It was an assertive action that demanded loyalty and assured potential consequences with fewer potential benefits. He had become part of the organization before he was married, knowing at that time that there were no guarantees. The possibility existed where he could lose everything he cared about in an instant. The organization demanded itself ahead of love or family. It was part of the oath.
I'm sorry, Kay, he whispered, rising to his feet and pointing the pistol at his wife. I'm not for sale. Not for any price.
The Koran seemed confused.
Not for your wife? Or your children?
Aaron squeezed the trigger, planting a single round in Kieran's forehead. She toppled to the ground, her brain dead, her body still alive.
Not for anything, he replied.
He walked over to her, expression flat. He was a warrior first, a husband and father second. He knelt beside her, turning her over. Through her shirt, he could see the flesh on her back moving, the Koran seeking to escape the useless husk of the human being it had appropriated. No doubt it had told its superior what Aaron had done, the decision he had made. No doubt the superior was murdering his children somewhere on the planet at this very moment. But he had already separated himself from the emotional reaction. He didn't question whether or not he had done the right thing. The coming of the Relia warship was bigger than his family. It was a threat to every human on Proxima and beyond. And he had taken an oath. Kieran's skin broke, the small dark worm slipping its head out. It swiveled toward him, seeing him through dozens of eyes and letting out a high-pitched shriek. Aaron smiled, showing it the micro-spear. It screamed again in reply. It was afraid.
Good.
He jabbed the micro-spear into it, watching the spear expand into the creature, spreading out into a dozen tendrils that tore the worm apart. Aaron watched the process in grim satisfaction. If he was cold, it was because he had to be cold. He turned away from his dead wife, face set in determination, as he headed for the safe.